Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's Cash 'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or Trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
All right, send us your cash in or trash it. 713-780-ESPN. You have hot takes, you have overreactions, you want the killer bees to cash or trash, let us know. 713-780-3776. Blankers, age before beauty, let's start with you. What is your first cash or trash that you got for us today?
Simply put, Draymond Green deserved to be suspended. I'll say, the easy guess is one game. But some people think he should be suspended for the rest of the series. I'll say Draymond Green deserves to be suspended for one game by the NBA.
I'm going to trash this.
Why?
Trash.
I'm going to trash this. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about this here in about 15 minutes. So I'll tease it with saying why. I don't even think he should have been ejected. Joe George, what do you got? Cash or trash? God.
Well, I'll trash that.
With
he shouldn't
no backup.
Have...
That's the best way to tease it. Make sure you listen to the Killer Bees in 15 minutes.
I'll cash this. I think a suspension's probably worthy.
For the whole series?
No, for a game.
I didn't say that. I said for one game.
Okay. All right.
Well, he's going to be out for a game anyways, I think, right?
I feel like it might get heated at 2:15 with the Killer Bees. So make sure you're tuning in.
Why? Cat fight.
He's not automatic to get a suspension.
He's not there yet with technicals?
I thought it reset in the playoffs.
Oh, I think right? You might be right.
Doesn't it reset in the playoffs? The technical count where accumulation technicals leads to a suspension?
No, I think you're right. I think it's like six in the playoffs.
Yeah, so it would have to be a suspension because of like it's actually a suspension, not a cumulative suspension. All right, the first one that I'm going to cash or trash, 713-780-3776 if you want to send yours. Hunter Brown will be the Astros' second best starting pitcher when October rolls around.
I'm trashing that.
Whoa! No hesitation at all.
I believe too much in Christian Javier. I said that he was going to be a sleeper candidate to be in the Cy Young discussion. I believe that what I saw last night with the velo going up as he threw more and more pitches, no matter how much command he did or didn't have in the strike zone, I believe that your top two guys are who they are right now and will be that way going forward. Fromber has looked to be his old Fromber self. He looks good, going to get better. I really love what Javier has done, and I believe that it's no slap on Hunter Brown.
I know.
But I think those two guys are your top two guys.
Yeah, come on, man.
You don't think that Hunter Brown can be better than Christian Javier by October?
No, and know what? My wallet is not going to bet on this because my wallet says I got a lot of money to win on Christian Javier winning the Cy Young this year.
Hedge it.
Actually,
I guess you'd be doubling down.
What am I hedging on?
You'd be hedging if you went the Hunter Brown route. But yeah, this would be a double down.
I can't bet on Hunter Brown being the second best start on the Astros.
This would be a double down, not a hedge. You're right. If you were to bet the Javier, I don't think it's without question.
I don't think
it's out of the realm of possibility that Hunter Brown could surpass Javier by October.
Hunter Brown can push the conversation.
Absolutely.
But I don't think he'll pass Javier this year.
Better in four starts? Well, Javi started his fourth game yesterday.
Yeah, Hunter
Brown's been three.
Hunter Brown's been better, but Christian Javier was part of two no-hitters last year, including one in a World Series.
I love Javier. I feel dirty even bringing
this up. Yeah, it's just like I get where you're going with it because Hunter Brown is nasty.
Yeah, he's got like he's more of a real starter. Like Javier certainly can start games. I want Javier to be a more of a 5-6 inning starter than a 6-inning, 7-inning starter. But he has two pitches that he can really count on. Yeah, he shows you a curveball, he shows you a changeup, but he's a fastball slider guy. He's got a two pitch mix for the most part. Hunter Brown's got an arsenal. Hunter Brown's got an entire repertoire. I don't think this is without question, guys. Let's revisit it in October.
I think it's more like if you would have said next year, I would listen to it.
I asked the hard questions.
I know.
All right, Joe George, what's your cash or trash?
Well, we're on the same wavelength a little bit.
Okay.
Hunter Brown is going to be so good over the next 2 years that it's going to cause the Astros to not extend Framber Valdez.
This reminds me of whenever I said on September 2nd that Hunter Brown has already shown enough that the Astros won't be bringing back Justin Verlander.
Wait. So you're saying that Hunter Brown's going to be so good.
Yeah, that they're going to say we don't need to pay Fromber.
Oh, I'm trashing that. I'm trashing that. Now, I know Fromber's a little older, but Fromber has given you no indication he's slowing down. Fromber is a lefty, which is highly valuable. Fromber still, and the way he's pitching, it depends on the length of the contract and his agent. If they're going to go and try and not do what Javier did, not do what some of the including Yordan did, I think that if they're looking for that long-term big money deal, then I might question it, and that's where it might factor in that Hunter Brown slides up and they might be willing to move on from Fromber. Other than that, I don't see any way they let Fromber just walk away for Hunter Brown.
Hasn't he already shown that, Fromber? I'm actually going to cash this sort of.
But it's longevity, too, right?
Yeah, but they were talking contracts this offseason and didn't get anything done. So, like, Fromber has already shown you that he's not going to take a team-friendly deal, because if he was going to take a team-friendly deal, it would have been done this offseason. I don't think it matters what Hunter Brown does. This is where I say sort of. I don't think it matters what Hunter Brown does in terms of Fromber Valdez continue to be a Houston Astro after 2025. I don't think Fromber Valdez is going to be an Astro past 2025. I don't think they're going to give him an extension. If he was willing to sign a team-friendly deal, he would have done it this offseason. It becomes more and more difficult to sign a player to an extension the closer and closer they get to free agency, especially a team-friendly deal. And the Astros, and I know that they're under new leadership. I understand Dana Brown's the new general manager. When do the Astros sign huge contracts ever? When do the Astros sign huge contracts with players that are in their 30s? I think Fromber Valdez is pitching his last 3 years as a Houston Astro. I don't think he's going to re-sign after his contract is up through 2025, actually when his club control is up after 2025. I don't think it matters what Hunter Brown does. I don't see Fromber signing an extension with the Astros.
I think that's realistic. I think the same way that as much as every Astros fan wants to see Kyle Tucker back in an Astros uniform for the long term, I think the realistic approach with the signs that you've seen and the tendencies that they've shown is, if that he's going out for as much money as he can get at the longest term he can possibly get it, and he sees the numbers that are thrown out there for a lot of the guys that have got free agent contracts recently, and the Astros say we don't play that game, then I think you agree to disagree, shake hands, and move on.
Before we go around the horn with our second cash or trash, let's get to a few of the texters' cash or trashes. You can participate too, 713-780-3776. 3376, Warriors dynasty is over. It's over.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not willing to say it's over just yet, because you still have those guys. They got a really tough decision coming up on two guys, on Green and on Klay Thompson, because Klay Thompson I don't think is playing anywhere near a max-level guy anymore. But loyalty is going to be in the discussion across the board, and that can be dangerous. And I think that they do have young players, but I think Poole's kind of taken a step back once he got the money to go up. And so I think it's a realistic thing. I'm going to say the dynasty is for sure over. They could still win another one.
Well, that's just, what?
I think they could still possibly win another one down the road, but I'm saying right now that the dynasty's over.
I think that's two different things.
Because
if they win another.
A dynasty is where you continue to win consistently and you keep being dominant.
No, but I think if you win another title.
But what this is like, yeah, it'd be like.
But they're already a dynasty.
Right. But like it grows their dynasty.
Yeah, I feel like he's almost asking they're going to not win another championship. Yeah. I think he's saying they're not going to win another title. So it sounds like you're trashing that because you think the Warriors will win another title.
I think they could, but I won't say that they will. I'll say that I think the dynasty's over.
I'll trash it too. I don't think that they're going to win another title. I think it was a great run.
Unless
I think
you're
it's one
cashing
of the. Sure, yeah, that's what I meant. It's one of the greatest runs that we've seen in NBA history. We're not going to see another Curry, Clay, Draymond, Big Three championship in Golden State.
I agree with you.
I'm going to trash it.
Trash.
Did they win another?
I don't know. It's just like, I know Sacramento's up 2-0, but like this series could be 2-2.
It's a first round.
I think it will be 2-2. I'll go on record right there and say right now, it will be 2-2.
I think they can still win the title this year.
Wow.
No, I think past this year is where it gets really questionable, because if they re-sign Clay, they're going to have $500 million in luxury tax.
Sheesh.
Loyalty is one thing, but $500 million worth of loyalty is a different conversation.
Yeah.
That's so rough. Like, I think they could win the title this season still, but past the season, I think the answer is no.
Here's a 8693. Only way Astros win back-to-back World Series titles is if they get a big bat at the trade deadline. History shows pitching won't be as dominant, so even with everyone healthy, we'll have to get another big bat to win. Cashing or trashing that? The only way the Astros win back-to-back titles is if they get a big bat at the deadline.
No, I'm trashing that. I think that they've got enough. I mean, again, it's hard. It's almost impossible for anyone to make that judgment call when you haven't seen this complete full lineup at 100% health. When you get Altuve back and when you get Brantley back and you see who they are and what they can do and what they continue to do for you, now you can make an educated statement like that and say they still need more. I don't think that they will. I don't think they need more. I think they have plenty. It's just that you haven't seen the full complement yet. When you do, that will change, and therefore I completely disagree with that.
I'll trash this, especially if they're healthy. Like, they're missing Jose Altuve, the best offensive second baseman in baseball. Michael Brantley, I'm not going to, like, sit here and say, well, you know, they're missing Brantley. That's a huge stick to the lineup. We don't know what version of Michael Brantley the Astros are getting. So, like, anything you get from Brantley is a bonus, but you totally expect Jose Altuve to be one of the very best offensive players in baseball whenever he returns. And I'm still bullish on this Astros pitching staff, even without Justin Verlander. If you go into a playoff series with the top three of Fromber, Javier, Hunter Brown, and insert whatever fourth starter you want with the Astros bullpen that they have, they don't need a big bat to win a title. I'm going to trash this as well.
I'm also going to trash this, but mostly on the idea that they don't have the ability to go get a big bat. So, like, if you think like that's what it all lands on is them adding a big bat, well, it's sorry.
Would you consider
like, how are you going to get one?
Would you consider Wilson Contreras a big bat last year?
Yes.
Big enough, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
But they
you can find a big bat rental. It can't be a multi-year deal, but you can find a big bat that has an expiring contract.
You can, but like how are you going to get them?
Jose Urquidy. Pedro Leon.
I think they've made,
Whitley, if he has
made
a good year.
I think they've made that decision on not trading these starters. So I don't know how.
But again, if it's an expiring contract on a team that knows they're going to lose them anyway, they're interested in taking what they can get, and they'll take one small chance for a piece to make sure they don't walk away with absolutely nothing, and you could still end up with someone that could be helpful for you.
Yeah, I think you can find an expiring contract big bat, but not a big bat that has years of control, like not Brian Reynolds.
Right.
Not Cedric.
You're going to be looking at a guy that's probably looking for big money at the end of the season.
Yep.
That's worn out the relationship because it's a square peg round hole. A player looking to still win titles, an organization probably looking towards a rebuild or a younger start. And then they part company and you just give up something or a couple of pieces, minor pieces, to get who you need to push you over the top. We've seen it done year after year, and it's not implausible to think it can happen again.
713-780-3776. What are your hot takes, overreactions? You want the Killer Bees to cash or trash? Josh in Beaumont, cash or trash? Springer will finish his career with the Astros.
I'll trash that right away. Trash that right away. Just because of the money he's making alone and the fact that I still think that as much as he loved his run with the players in the locker room and what they were able to do, I still think that he wasn't extremely pleased with how his situation was handled when he first broke into the league. And I think that ship has sailed. You know what? He still loves when he comes in here, and he obviously loves his teammates that he played with here. But I don't think that there's any way that I consider him coming back to finish his career here.
I'm going to cash this.
Really?
I could see
at
George.
At that salary?
No, not at that salary. I could see George Springer in the final year of his deal, and the Blue Jays are terrible, being this rental we just talked about.
How much does he have left?
He's probably, what, 32 right now?
No, I mean contract-wise.
This is the third year of a six-year deal?
Yeah, see, it's just so far down the road.
It is far down the road.
Yep. And they might not, neither team might be as good as they are now.
He could also be the Michael Brantley, like the free agent that you're signing for $15 million for 1 year, for $30 million for 2 years. And your point about, you know, bad blood, public enemy number one's gone. Like, the reason that George Springer was unhappy with the Astros was Jeff Luhnow. Like, this is a completely different regime. It has nothing to do with Jeff Luhnow anymore. It has nothing to do with Crane. It has nothing to do with Dana Brown. It has nothing to do with Dusty Baker. If everything makes sense, Springer's not going to say no to the Houston Astros. Joe George?
I think I'm going to trash that just because it's so far out. And I think
it's a hard one.
The reason why the biggest thing is, where does Springer play when that time comes, right?
Left field.
Yeah, see, I could see that because, like, my gut tells me George Springer would finish his career as a DH.
Or DH.
I don't know about that.
That's probably eliminator.
I think he's a right fielder.
And that's kind of where
it's fine too.
Like, if he can, if he's if he's healthy enough to play left field or right field, like, I'm fine with that then.
Yeah.
But I just, it's so far, I'll say trash.
He can't be a DH only, though. You're right.
Yeah.
Because Yordan Alvarez needs to be a DH only at that point. 9-3-2-1, Corey Jolk should be an everyday player until Michael Brantley returns.
I'll cash it.
Jeez, jumped the gun.
That was quick. Yeah, don't let the talent on the show comment yeah, first. Just go ahead and be you.
We won't go around the horn. Twitch. We won't go through the batting order like we normally do. No,
just tell us why, Joe. I
go
mean,
Cougs.
You're already.
Go Cougs. Oh, your TK then dropped that last night? Or it was Blummer
yeah,
TK?
Yeah, they've done it both times on both
oh,
home runs.
Okay.
Who's house, Cook's house. Yeah, I love it.
He strikes out a lot, but man, he's
hitting over 300.
He should be the everyday left fielder.
Yep.
The best Astros lineup right now is Corey Jolks in left field.
Batting sixth.
Mauricio Dubon at second base. Chaz McCormick in center when his vision stuff is figured out. Like, it's very cut and dry right now that's the best lineup this team can put out there.
Yeah.
Is there not an eyeglass company that needs to sponsor Chaz McCormick right away?
I almost felt like it almost felt like a...
Maybe he was drunk.
Like a concussion. Like, I know that they're not going to say that. Like, the way...
Yeah, you're right.
It's just odd. Like, he's always... All of a sudden has these vision issues.
Was there ever a collision?
Was there discomfort?
I mean, he's had some diving catches.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So, I don't know. It's just... It seems odd that, like, he's out still. Because, like, you know, the Dodgers are doing this right now. They did this with Will Smith. He literally went from being sick for 2 days to being in concussion protocol. And, like, that doesn't really... Like, you don't go from one to the
other. With him?
I mean, there's been a lot of Houston athletes that have gotten hurt.
I didn't get that one, Joel. I'm sorry.
Will Smith getting jiggy with him.
Yeah, sorry.
713-780-3776. Great the joke from Blankers.
It was fine. It's just over my head. I'm not saying it's a bad joke.
You're a short guy. A lot of things go
That's
over
true.
Head.
I'm only 5'6".
I know.
The listeners saved y'all from my cash or trash it. My second one of Will Levis will be the number two pick in the draft. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's talk about the Draymond Green. He went full Draymond last night. Never go full Draymond. Is he the most unlikable player of recent memory? Did the officials get all that right in that game yesterday? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
9723 says McCormick ran into the wall in center field, left the game, was replaced by Jake Myers. That's when it all started. Yes, but Dusty was talking about how Chaz was having vision issues and blurry vision like during BP that day. So it was something that actually it was before he ran to the wall. So this was going on before that, and Chaz said it was getting worse. So this was before he actually ran into the wall. All right, Draymond Green yesterday stomped on Sabonis. We all think that Draymond's very unlikable. I think we know the answer to that question, right? Most unlikable player of recent memory. Who are other unlikable players? 713-780-3776. Well, Barnes is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if
my
current,
most hated NBA player of all time.
All time?
All
more
time.
Than Stockton and Malone?
All time. They
like,
were good.
Modern
they were really
era,
good.
I could see that.
They were really good.
I hated Stockton. I hated Malone.
You can hate people because they're really good, or you can hate because they're really dirty and really a...
Both for the Jazz. All of them. They were all dirty. Remember Karl Malone went knee up on Bokey?
I don't.
In a playoff series, he went knee up on Nakbar, and then Nakbar like pulled him down from the backside. It was pretty cool. Anyways, what did you make of the whole Draymond Sabonis issue yesterday? His little stomp. Sabonis should have won an Oscar for his performance last night.
I think that and the Kings, because Monty McNair, by the way, the general manager that got away, Rockets fans. Monty McNair is going to do what Daryl would do. He's going to over-publicize x-rays and medical attention and trying to see if he has a broken bone or a cracked sternum, because that's drawing more attention to a guy you want suspended. I think that because Draymond is Draymond, this is going to get exacerbated even more. I firmly believe he's getting at least one game. But I believe that you have to take the totality of the entire incident. You have to see the fact that Sabonis does grasp onto his foot with both hands. So, therefore, that starts the play. Now, Draymond was completely wrong because at the end, he could have extended out his gait and gotten away from him and continued to move on. Instead, he elected to put his foot right down on him and push off to move forward. I think that's what the NBA is going to focus on. I think that's why, and because they haven't been afraid to suspend him in the playoffs previously, think Finals, Cavs, and the one that probably got away for the Warriors because of it, I believe he'll get suspended for a game. But I do understand where Draymond's coming from in saying, you know, hey, look, he grabbed my ankle first. What am I supposed to do? It's that last push-off that's going to get him the game.
See, I thought he held back. I thought he held back, to be honest with you. I felt like he didn't even put any pressure whenever he was stepping off Sabonis.
I think initially he did.
He, like, hopped. He, like, hopped so he wouldn't stomp into him. I thought Sabonis was acting completely, like, to be completely honest. I don't like Draymond. I don't like to be in a position where I'm defending Draymond Green. But the dude, like, this is the perfect example of that chart that we know that where if you around, you find out. Sabonis around, and he found out with Draymond Green. You don't wrap your hands around a dude trying to trip him. I don't think Draymond Green, like, would stomp into his chest. If he went stomp into his chest, Sabonis is missing some time. Sabonis is missing some minutes in that game. Sabonis missed zero time in that game. Like, he did not get stomped through the chest where he deserved to be, like, you know, on the ground, like flailing in pain. I thought Draymond Green held up. I don't think Draymond Green put his full force into Sabonis, and I think Sabonis should have won an Oscar for the performance he had in that basketball game yesterday.
Joe, I don't know what you think. I think you when I watched it multiple times, and I kept watching it. I think he gets off without a suspension. Excuse me, until that final push-off. He might not have used all his weight, but he used
enough. He hopped off of him. Like, he hopped trying not to put any weight on him.
I think that he looked down.
You see him hop.
And basically, whether he was trying to send a message or do more damage than that, he could have just gotten away from it and elected to go back down and push down as he pushed forward. I think the league's concentrating on that little move right there alone to say there was malicious intent. And they're going to get him for a game.
See, I thought the hop, he was doing a pretty good job of stepping off of him, like making sure he didn't put all of his weight onto him. Do I think that he was, like, initially going to just step on him? Yeah, but I felt like he actually restrained himself more than anything else. Like, why is Sabonis holding onto his leg? Like, why are you – if somebody was holding onto my leg, like, I'm going to try to get my foot off of them too. Why was he holding on to his leg? Like, I felt like Sabonis was the bad actor way more than Draymond.
Well, the logical answer is it's gamesmanship, but that gamesmanship can get you in trouble, to your point. Like, if you're doing that, you better be ready for the repercussions, because a lot of guys are either going to take their full weight and just fall down on top of you.
He's trying to jump off of it. He's trying to release his right foot. He comes down in an area that's going to land on Sabonis' body. He doesn't put his full weight on him, and then he, like, without putting his pressure on his chest, he hops off of him.
I disagree. I think that initially he would have gotten away with it and then did the jump, but because in between there he put the foot back down and pushed down with a little extra, I'm just telling you, I think the league is going to focus on that alone, and they're going to say that was an unnecessary movement and reaction, and therefore they're going to ding him for a game.
If I had your leg in my hands, you have total control of where your leg's going?
Not total control, but even if it's going to go down, you can put weight on the other leg. You don't have to put the pressure he put on the sternum of Sabonis. Whether it was damaging or not is another story. But because he put it back down there and put, you can see him push down, I think they're going to ding him for that.
He never had his foot on Sabonis's chest without Sabonis having his leg at any point. Like, we don't see the same thing here. 713-780-ESPN. I think most people agree with you, if I'm being completely honest. I think Draymond Green here is a victim of his reputation. I will say one thing that really annoyed me about this whole thing with Draymond Green. He immediately went and recorded a podcast.
Oh, this
after
is the big
this.
Thing that
like,
the
what
league,
are you doing?
He's doing it too because he knows it drives the league crazy, because now he has an outlet without getting fined to go out and just air it all out there. And you know what? The other thing is, the way he took that moment, and instead of trying to be contrite and hope that, you know, I'm not going to get thrown out of the game and try and, you know, explain his case, he just egged the fans on. And then, you know, this is like the Westbrook situation. You can't sit there and make your hand gestures and do the things that you think are looking hip and cool that piss fans off and then not take the smoke when it comes back at you. So if Draymond's going to be that guy calling for all of that, you got to realize the league's seeing all that too.
I loved it.
And it doesn't – I know, because you love the drama.
I loved it.
And he does too. And he fuels not only himself but his team off of that. But the league sees that and goes, you know what? That's just another reason why. And he's had too many chances before. And I firmly believe he's getting a game.
That big fat white guy who's in there flipping him off. Oh, it was so good. Like, that's playoff basketball. Like, that's the intensity I want.
What really
I want
me,
that
though,
stuff as a fan.
Kudos to Green. He just took it and went back at him. He didn't Russ would have been the guy that says, I want him out. I want security to get him out right now.
He just yelled at him.
Yeah, don't do that. Just, you know, thick skin, tough it out.
I hope he doesn't get a game, though. Like, even if we disagree, like, I don't like playoff suspensions in a game whenever there's some gray area where there's some, like, maybe vague areas. Like, I don't want Draymond Green to have to miss a game in this series and potentially be, like, an influencer of the Warriors getting eliminated. Like, fine him. Give him a heavy fine. Don't suspend him a game. I don't want to, for, like, the sanctity of the series, don't suspend him. Don't give him a game. Give him the biggest fine that you can give him.
The fact that they've done it before in the finals, I think they're going
to
suspend.
You're probably right. You're probably right. I think that Draymond actually was trying to get out of the way of this. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Rod, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Rod?
What's going on, man?
What's up?
Yeah, I feel like Draymond, he's a victim of just his reputation on this one, man. I don't like Draymond or the Warriors, but come on, he's holding his leg. Where else do you want him to go? I mean, if he fell on him, then they say he's power bombing or dropping an elbow, whatever they call it on the guy. I mean, that's just a bad call to me.
Yeah, Sabonis was acting. Sabonis was acting. Appreciate.
Can I mention?
Oh, sorry, we lost. You cannot mention that. No, you can't.
Way to go, Joe. Yeah, Joe. Come back and you're already blocking and timing people out and just going at people's jugulars.
I'm timing people out because I got people in our DMs complaining that they're using the same problems.
Got a quick trigger.
You dropped the hammer on a guy when he said, can I mention?
Well, I thought we were done because we lost connection. I thought it was over.
9193 said that a few fans were thrown out. 713-780. That's what he said. I don't know. You take the opinion of a texter? Probably. I don't think he'd make it up. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line. Tyler, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to say I think Sabonis does deserve a great acting job for what he did. Clearly, he was holding his leg, and, you know, what more do you want Draymond to do?
Yeah, I thought he was trying to hop over him. He didn't clear his body. He realized he was going to come down on Sabonis, and he tried everything he could to actually not put all of his weight on him. I think if he would have really went out for a curb stomp, I think Sabonis is probably going to miss a week. I think Sabonis would have probably lost his breath. Sabonis didn't miss a second of that game.
There's no doubt he was acting.
No doubt.
But I'm telling you right now, the fact that the league is going to focus on reputation.
No doubt about
that
either.
And the fact that he pushed down on that final step with his right foot to get going forward is going to be all they focus on.
713-780-ESPN. 3581, agree 100% that Draymond was super theatrical and didn't stop as hard as he could, or even very much on Sabonis. Draymond worked really hard to bring attention to the situation. He definitely brought attention to the situation after the fact. He was going at it.
And
with
he hasn't made any secret of it in the past that he tries to use these situations to fire up his team and get them going, too. And they obviously needed a fire lit under their ass. But at the same time, the way he did it showed like he had no remorse or thought that he did anything wrong, and therefore the referees are going to act, you know, to punish him because they don't want it to continue during the rest of the game.
Sabonis got a T2. 5874, Green gets one game. The other guy needs two games for initiating it. Green could have also got hurt. Dude, that's a double technical play on in my book. That's a double T play on. Like, okay, Draymond, that might have been a stomp. You get a T. Sabonis, you can't hold on to somebody's leg. You get a T. Play basketball. Like, I hated that was an ejection, quite frankly. Double T, let's play. No suspensions, let's play. Maybe I'm old school.
You are. There's nothing wrong with that.
Gosh,
but I think that
I think it's just this. It's mostly about Draymond.
Probably.
Like, if Draymond, Grayson Allen, like, there are just certain guys that, like, if you do this,
his,
like,
reputation precedes it. He can't escape that.
Yeah, you earned it for a reason.
Playoff basketball.
If there's a cup check in a Suns game and Chris Paul's involved, you know he's getting suspended because he's got the history. Like,
yeah, he does. He's dirty, too.
But
he's super dirty.
You also have to take into consideration what the league is considering when doing this, too. They know this clip's going to blow up. They know it. A ton of attention is going to be drawn to it. And with that, taken away from how great they think the playoffs are going so far with the upsets and all the different storylines. And so they're going to use that in their ammunition to say, this is a bad look for the league. This is a bad look here. This is a bad look overall. And that's why they're, and because of his reputation, they're going to get him.
Yeah, I think it is reputation. There's no doubt about it. Double T, play on, no suspension. This is playoff basketball. Stop being soft, NBA. 713-780-ESPN. Let's make mock drafts great again. You know who makes their debut appearance in making mock drafts great again? Cody Castuccio. What is he mocking? And I have a new bet proposal. with Cody Stutes. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I have a proposal for you, too, and you need to take me up on this because I don't miss. We know that. HRP, Human Resources and Payroll. It's Cougar owned by Mike Holly. Used to protect a Heisman Trophy winner. Now he wants to protect your business. If he can protect a Heisman Trophy winner, he can certainly protect your business. HRP, members of the Cougar 100 for the eighth year in a row. You've seen the HRP signage, I'm sure. If you've been to any of the U of H games, they have the building off the Beltway. I'm sure you've seen that as well. Business owners, let HRP help you. They can help in HR compliance. They can help in benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. HRP can help in any of those areas, or they can help in all of those areas. There's no boxes with HRP. It doesn't matter if you need help with one of those things. It doesn't matter if you need help with all of those things. HRP will completely customize a plan for what you and your business needs. Problem, one issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate? Well, HRP will find a way to help. They do it in a way that's unique as well. Technology meets service. They have the best tech. You'll fall in love with that, but you'll also fall in love with their service. I can speak to their service. Here at Gal Media, we use HRP. Any question that I have with payroll, anything like that, time off, HR, when blankers are getting a little naughty, I always send them an email. They give me a response that's quick and it's easy to understand. Guaranteed fulfillment. You won't be talking to a stranger on a call board. You'll be talking to someone who knows your business needs. Give them a call right now, 281-880-6525, and let HRP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525, or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Make mock drafts great again here in a couple of minutes. The great Cody Castuccio makes his debut on Making Mock Drafts Great Again. But for, let's take Jonathan's call real quick. He wants to make a point about Draymond. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Jonathan, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, how you doing today?
Great.
What's up, man?
All right, this is my thing right here. Y'all talking about Sabonis was doing the acting thing. Okay, that's cool. No problem. Did you see all the acting that Green was doing? Like, he wasn't trying to step on him when he was that little bunny hop, whatever you want to call it.
He had his foothold.
I can't say he's one of them teams, but I'm going to let y'all go ahead and discuss that one right there.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, Sabonis had him in a Kurt Angle ankle lock. Like, you don't have control of your leg when it's being held by another human being.
I just think we can't tell. We can't tell what kind of a grasp he had on the leg. There's no doubt that he had both hands on his foot. But again, it's all going to be under the scrutiny of the NBA, and it's all going to be at their liberty alone to decide what needs to be done. His reputation is going to set the tone. The fact that, in my opinion, he didn't need to push off and step down and push down when he did reapply the foot to his sternum or his stomach at that point. I understand Sabonis is a big actor. I understand that Monty McNair is cut out of the Daryl Morey.
He's the bad actor here.
Well, but they both are. And I think that, you know, Monty coming from the Daryl Morey system is going to use every angle to possibly get what's best for his team, which is Draymond suspended. But I think that he doesn't have to worry so much about all that because the league and Draymond's reputation will take care of that by itself.
King of Twitch says that's called the Jeff Van Gundy hold. That's a pretty good comparison.
That's a good one, yeah.
WJ says, does Branham look like Seth MacFarlane at all? Do I look like Seth MacFarlane?
Maybe a little.
I could see it.
Yeah,
I can see it. That's not a bad. I'll take that.
Can you do the voices of Seth?
Absolutely not. I have zero personality. I don't have a flag bone in my body. 713-780-ESPN. Let's make mock drafts great again. This one from the great Cody Castuccio. You can listen 3-7 here on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Some people have taken the liberty to call that show a different name.
Mm.
I had everything to do with that. Cody
yes, you did. And I love every bit of it, too, by the way.
Cody Castuccio with his latest and greatest mock draft has C.J. Stroud going number one to Carolina. So because of this.
The latest draft?
His latest mock draft.
When did this come out?
5 hours ago.
Oh.
He has the Carolina Panthers selecting C.J. Stroud, to which, look, Cody and I have been trying to come up with a bet. He gave a fake bravado, trying to be a macho man, knowing my side of the bet, and he offered me the little goofy, cheesy, sign-spinning bet of four quarterbacks top 10 when he knew, I believe, four quarterbacks went in the top 10. So I gave him a piece of his own medicine, a dose of his own medicine, I say $1,000. Levis top 10 or not? He didn't do that. He thinks Levis is going in the top 10. He has Levis going number 4 to Indy, so I can understand that. So I'm giving Cody an opportunity to stand on the table and bang the table for what he really believes in. He has C.J. Stroud in the latest Cody Castuccio mock draft 1.0 going with C.J. Stroud at number 1 to Carolina. I hopped into Cody's mention, another dose of his own medicine, because I never do this. He always does this to me. I said, Cody, $1,000. I'll bet you that C.J. Stroud does not go number 1. Nothing.
Crickets?
Nothing from Cody.
Not even a response?
Not even a response. He said that I'm not a serious person, yet he's making the claim Stroud's going number 1.
You have
one.
No personality. You're nothing but a serious person.
That's true. That's right.
Let me
just
reiterate
personality.
That.
You don't
That's
have a
right.
funny bone in my body.
No.
So I offered Cody Stutes, so I'll do it on the air, I guess. That's the way we communicate. $1,000 bet. Hey, look, I won't even go $1,000. If that's too big for your bankroll, fine. Let's go $100. $100.
Fair.
$100. I'll bet you, Cody, that C.J. Stroud is not the number one pick of the NFL draft. You're saying that he's going to be the number one pick of the NFL draft.
I feel like we're...
Your side is Stroud's the number one pick of the NFL draft. I will bet you your side, the opposite side of your side.
I think we've made some progress here.
I think this is great. We made some great strides.
I think we might finally have a wager.
Right. He believes Stroud's going number one.
I'm just trying to get caught up from what I missed when I was out. I believe that from all that I missed, this sounds like a reasonable solution.
He thinks Stroud's going number one. Why wouldn't he bet that C.J. Stroud will be the number one pick? Like, I'm giving him his side, which he didn't extend me that same luxury. He took the side that I was on.
What are the odds on that right now?
Not great. I would immediately, if Cody took a $100 bet on C.J. Stroud, I would immediately take $35 and bet on C.J. Stroud.
Well, here's the good thing.
Because he's getting great odds.
Bryce Young is still going to go through with all of his rest of his workouts because he... Oh, never mind.
Yeah, he's...
Nothing, no signs are pointing to...
This is Cody taking one last hopeful moment that Bryce Young's still going to be a Houston Texan.
I hope he's right.
He wants it so bad that he's, not necessarily using his best judgment because he doesn't want to bet it. He doesn't want to bet it. So it shows you how much he believes C.J. Stroud's going to go number one if he doesn't even want to bet it. So Stroud goes number one in Cody Castuccio's mock draft, which means the Houston Texans take Bryce Young. That's outstanding. That's great. We would all be very happy. We wouldn't have to be asking the silly questions and the hard questions. Would you rather take Will Levis at number two or not have a quarterback in the first round at all? We wouldn't have to ask those because we would have Bryce Young in Houston. So Young goes number two to the Texans, according to Cody Castuccio. Will Anderson, number three to Arizona. Will Levis, his least favorite quarterback, goes number four to Indy. And then Jalen Carter rounds out the top five. Going to Seattle. Anthony Richardson goes to Las Vegas at number 7. That would be intriguing. He has Bijan Robinson going to Atlanta at number 8. That would be pretty fun.
Ooh.
And then Tyree Wilson is his number 9 pick to tag. Peter Skoronski to round out the top 10 goes to Philly. So the Houston Texans, we've been playing the game.
Yep.
We've been playing the game. Put yourselves in the shoes of Nick Caserio, not Cody Castuccio. And who would you take if you were given the Texans' pick at 12, and then the following three picks. It's a multiple choice, A, B, C, or D. You don't have the option of Jaxon Smith-Njigba, by the way, because he goes number 11 to Tennessee.
Mm.
So he's off the board when the Texans pick. Cody Castuccio has Caserio taking Lucas Van Ness from Iowa. Number 13 is Paris Johnson from Ohio State. 14th pick is Miles Murphy, the defensive end from Clemson. And the 15th pick is Devin Witherspoon, the corner from Illinois. So on the other side, put your feet into the shoes of Nick Caserio. Who do you take with this Cody Castuccio mock draft, assuming, which I imagine this will be the last time we assume Bryce Young is the pick at number 2, who would you take at number 12? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, put yourself into the shoes of Nick Caserio, not Cody Castuccio. They probably wouldn't fit. You already know that Bryce Young, this is the last time we used that any mock draft with Bryce Young going number 2. This is the most unrealistic mock draft I've seen in minutes. There's no way Bryce Young's going to be there too, right? Like, we've already moved on from that. We've graduated the idea that there's any hope at all.
We
that
just
Bryce
used
Young's
deductive reasoning between Vegas and him not working out for anybody else the rest of the time before the leading
Vegas
up to the
odds.
Draft, and all the different casinos are leading that way. Yes,
the only like, he worked out for the Texans, so it's not like he didn't work out for the Texans. He knows he's going top two no matter what. I think he knows he's going number one, and I think there's still a small chance that they don't take him, and that this is, like, this the biggest smokescreen ever.
What's more likely, that the Panthers don't take Bryce Young or the Texans trade up to number one?
What's more likely?
Yeah.
That the Texans trade up to number one.
I think so, too.
And they take Bryce Young?
I think so, too.
And that's why. Because I can't get the Paolo Banchero stuff out of my head. Like, that for...
That's a good point.
That for months.
That's a very good point.
Jabari Smith was the number one pick to the Magic. It was the only team he worked out for. He didn't work out for anyone else. He was by far the betting favorite. And then all of a sudden, like 24 hours before the draft, everything changed. And it's just, it's almost the same with Walker. Like, it was earlier in the process, probably around this time last year, where everyone thought that Hutchinson was going number one, and then all of a sudden it changed. So, like, I think there's still a small chance that it's
I think
bad.
To Joe's point, as much as Vegas odds normally aren't wrong, especially when you see the number jump like that, I think the true validity to when you really have to lock it in with Vegas is day of. Because day of, if you remember, Joe, to your point, all of a sudden everything shifted and Paolo was the number one guy. Someone got some little leak of information out there on draft day and everything changed. So as much as this seems to be pretty convincing, it'll be interesting to see if there's any kind of movement between now and particularly on draft day, which I think will be the final nail.
Was
and
there a lot of Vegas movement on the NBA draft?
Oh,
on
draft day? Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was like 24 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah, within the final 24 hours, all of a sudden everybody's like, wait, what?
Yeah. And the thing is, too, is that it doesn't say that he's the betting favorite to be the Carolina Panthers starting quarterback next year. Like, I can't get out of, like, all these reports from Lance and Daniel Jeremiah and people that talk about how the Texans would be celebrating just the entire organization if they got Bryce Young. And now these odds are so in the favor of Bryce. It's still on the table. The Texans do make that trade up.
Yeah, I think it's way more likely they trade up than Young slides to two.
I agree.
I don't see a scenario where Bryce Young is on the board at number two. I really don't. I could see the Texans paying Carolina's price. And Aaron Wilson reported today that the price that Chicago wanted was 2-12 or 2 in a future 2024 first-round pick. So that was Aaron Wilson saying what the price was. Now, Aaron also said that D'Amico wasn't going to be the Texans head coach.
Either?
Probably the Texans.
I don't like – no, but I'm saying – no, which of the scenarios?
The
12-2
the 12th pick or the 2024?
2-2024.
Which would I be more okay with?
Yeah.
Probably 24. Kick the can down the road, 2024 pick.
I think it makes a lot of sense. You have Bryce Young, you have D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah.
You probably
your pick or the Cleveland pick in 24?
Probably your pick.
I mean, I don't think they would even ask for Cleveland's pick. I think that they would have been demanding your
but
pick.
I would counter and say, I'll give you 2024 Cleveland
and
pick.
And they hang up the phone. And they say, we have a deal with Carolina.
I don't know what they do.
Honestly, if that's all the Bears were asking for was the 2024 first, and you love Bryce Young that much, then what are we doing?
See, I don't love Bryce Young enough for me to be okay with that trade.
But if they do.
Right, I understand what you're saying. I don't know, man. That's unprecedented stuff.
The idea of giving up a first-round pick in which you already have other draft capital next year, and now you're going to pass on a quarterback.
I don't like when people say that, though, because that doesn't diminish the value of the draft pick. Like, oh, you had another draft pick, so you can just be willy-nilly with pick number 15. No, it's still pick 15.
No, you're right.
It's still worth the 15th pick of the draft.
I'm saying more the other way. You have value by you're not a team when that's talent depleted. You still have a first-round pick next year, even if you trade your own.
No, I understand that, but I don't like that logic because, like, oh, well, we have another pick, so all of a sudden the 12th pick becomes more, like, we can give that away. No, it's still the 12th pick of the draft.
But you're not giving it away if you believed Bryce Young was your franchise quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, you're using it to trade up, which is unprecedented. Like, look at the Mitch Trubisky trade. The one spot. That didn't have another first-round draft pick in it.
It was two-thirds.
It was like a second and a third, maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
Zero first-rounders.
It's a lot to give up to a roster that's that bad. I think that I would lean more towards next year's pick, but I don't like it because I still firmly believe, even with Bryce Young, this team overall is not going to be substantially better no matter what Bryce Young is able to do. And so, therefore, I think that the Texans pick has more value next year than it does the 12 pick this year. But it's such a catch-22 because you need, to your point, Jeremy, you need both of these players with where they sit right now just to try and upgrade your roster anywhere.
I'm not. I personally wouldn't have done that, either trade. Now, if the Texans have Bryce Young in this tier by himself and no one's else, and you know what? I don't even think you can look at only this draft class. If you're making that type of trade, you can't look at Bryce Young in only this draft class. You have to look at Bryce Young relative to the rest of the NFL quarterbacks.
And not only that, quarterbacks coming out next year too, May and, sure. and Caleb Williams, and go, do I believe so strongly in Bryce Young that I believe he's better than May and Williams next year?
Mm-hmm. I think to make that trade from a Texans point of view, you have to be convinced that Bryce Young is going to be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
And that's where I
better,
do. Yeah.
10 or better. At 10 is the worst I would go on that.
And that's probably really pushing it.
See, that's why I said.
Really, because Caleb Williams, I would bet more that he could be a top 10 pick or a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
He would need to be a top 10 quarterback in 2027.
Well, to my point of saying, hey, look, when you look at what the Texans are doing, even with Bryce Young next year, I still think they're going to be a bad football team, and I don't think they're going to be substantially better wins and loss wise. If that's the case, then I gotta put Bryce Young up against the quarterbacks coming out next year too and make the decision who is the best of the bunch. And if it's someone in the draft from next year, then I'm not giving up the capital for next year.
I think that's why you have to look at it from like a five-year approach. In 2027, who do you project to be the top 10 quarterbacks in the league? If you have Bryce Young like sixth on that list, I would agree the Texans need to do that. But if you're not convinced he's going to be in that top 10, you keep the pick.
Mm-hmm. Or you trade down because I think that's where you take the scenario of if Caleb Williams you do have in that 2027 top 10, it's a no-brainer for me that you just take other positions.
Because you also have to, if you're thinking about next year, then the trade back makes the most sense because then if you can obtain another first, then you have three first-round picks next year. So even if you win five or six games, if the draft falls your way like mm-hmm. it did this year where a team doesn't need a quarterback at one, like you would have the ammo to move up in that moment. So there's a bunch of different ways they can approach it. But the one thing that D'Amico said in his press conference like last week was that all that matters is that you get the guy. It doesn't matter if it's a rookie, if it's a veteran, how you get the guy, as long as you get the guy. And at some point, you got
to
get him.
I would argue, though, that the guy doesn't have to be right now.
No, I think that's what he was saying is that it doesn't mean you have to go get the guy tomorrow.
Right.
But you have to have a plan in place to go get the guy. Like, do you believe the Cincinnati Bengals are a cheap organization and won't pay Joe Burrow?
No.
Like, no. That's just too important.
So cheap that they have to pay Joe Burrow.
Yeah. Yep. Like, is Justin Herbert, like, could he be available? Like, or who's the next Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson? Like what's your plan to go get a quarterback? You've got to do it because at some point, like, you got to win football games.
A lot of them. I mean, I keep saying, with the landscape of the AFC – this is different if you're in the NFC because a good quarterback can take you a long, long way.
An above-average quarterback might make you the second-best team in the NFC next
Correct.
Year.
Correct. Maybe the best. Yeah. And in the next couple of years, maybe the best team. So that's why the AFC landscape plays such an important part in this too because you know you're just not trying to get a guy that's top 15 or top 12. You know you got to have a guy that competes with the top six guys in the AFC because they're maybe the top six guys in the NFL.
8654, Richard says, I would trade the number two pick, move down, and take Richardson. If you're trading down on draft day, there is a really high chance that you've traded out of the rookie quarterback market.
No question.
In the first round.
Like except for Hendon Hooker.
Hooker is on the table, mid-round guys. But and we're talking top four. If you're trading down anything lower than Indy, you've potentially taken yourself out of the rookie quarterback market. I don't think the Texans can do that. I really don't. I like if they're committed to quarterback. If they're not committed to quarterback, trade down, great. Collect draft capital. If you're committed to quarterback, I think the Texans have to reach on a quarterback at number two. All right, you have the multiple choice. Pick one of the four, putting your feet into the shoes of Nick Caserio. You get the option of Lucas Van Ness, Paris Johnson, Miles Murphy, Devin Witherspoon. Who are you taking at number 12? You already have Bryce Young in the fold, according to Cody Castucci.
I think I agree with Cody. I think I'll take Lucas Van Ness then because you don't need an offensive lineman. I don't think Green Bay is going to take a corner. I really don't. But I think that if that's on the table too, I don't think that's not where they're going to go. They went that way a year ago. Mm-hmm. I think to me, the only logical choice there is Van Ness because you give D'Amico a guy that he can work with on his side of the football. You got a quarterback. you also appease your new head coach.
You can go Van Ness or Murphy. I lean Van Ness, too. I like Van Ness more than I like Miles Murphy. Give me Van Ness. Joe George, you said yep. He went with the little Auction Wars guy that just says yep all the time.
Right. Yeah, I hate that guy. Yep. I can't stand that guy.
He's terrible. Please never do that.
Bryce Young and Van Ness, that'd be awesome.
Yep. There's a blast from the past. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse today, Blankers?
Oh, I think it's definitely draft. I think it's Cody's draft. I think they're going to lead with Cody's draft, and they're going to get into exactly what we were getting
into. That would be a plot twist. Maybe Will Levis at number two. That's what they lead with today. All right, does it for us. Thanks to Sean Mapes for all of the hard work behind the glass today and Joe George for a fraction of it. For Blankers, I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.